When you see any faults of mine, express them to me and not to anyone else, because these shortcomings ought to be altered by me and no one else. When you express it to me, you will be advising me, and this will be written as rewards. Should you express it to someone else, then it becomes backbiting, and punishment will be written for it. Why is it that when we see others carrying out evil acts, we expose it to all besides the perpetrator of the act himself? We are jams at discussing one another instead of guiding one another. I read the following saying in the hotel, and he says, this is what I read. If you are satisfied with our service, then tell others about it. If you are satisfied with our services, then tell others about it. If you are dissatisfied with our service, then talk to us about it. Then why don't we also make this very same principle of ours, so that our sitting together is pure from backbiting? Profound indeed, eh? Let me read it out one more time. When you see any faults of mine, express them to me and not to anyone else, because these shortcomings ought to be altered by me and no one else. When you express it to me, you will be advising me, and this will be written as rewards. Should you express it to someone else, then it will become backbiting, and punishment will be written for it. Why is it that when we see others carrying out evil acts, we expose it to everyone besides the perpetrator himself? We are jammed at discussing one another instead of guiding one another. I read the following saying in a hotel, which I liked very much. If you are satisfied with our service, then tell others about us. Should you be dissatisfied with our service, then talk to us about it. Then why don't we also make this principle of ours, so that our sitting together is pure from backbiting? It's interesting, profound words indeed, that if you find somebody doing wrong, instead of making a big hoo-ha about it and telling everyone except the person himself, this is not going to get us anywhere further in life. You're only exacerbating the problem further. So the author is saying, rather go to the man who is doing this act and speak to him directly, instead of telling the whole world about it. Why make a noise in a place where it makes no difference? Rather go to the person himself and tell him, listen, my brother, this is what's happening. And the author is saying that if there's a problem, speak to him about it. Not make a big issue outside. And this is a very common scenario in our circles, that we moan and we groan about everything. But tell that person, why don't you bring it up in the meeting? Why don't you tell the senior? I said, inshallah, I'll try. And then we become very, very quiet. But when it's time to discuss amongst ourselves, then we've got the whole hour to discuss amongst ourselves. But tell that person, do something constructive about the query and bring it to the person. He's unable to do so. Nonetheless, it brings us to 9:33 now, and we cross over to KZN to speak to Mufti Zubair Bayat with regards to the Basic Fiqh program. Mufti Sahab, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Mala Habib, and assalamu alaikum to all the esteemed listeners of Radio Islam International.
How are you doing, Mufti Sahab?
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, and yourself, Mawlana?
Alhamdulillah. How was Eid? How was Eid al-Adha, Mufti Sahab?
Alhamdulillah. All praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Eid al-Adha came and went very quickly. But Alhamdulillah, it went very, very well. All praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone.
MashaAllah.
And I hope things went well on your side, Mawlana.
Alhamdulillah. No complaints, Mufti Sahab.
Mufti Sahab,
inshallah, today we'll be sharing some light on the stampede that took place. And in that stampede also, there was a very important personality that we are unable to trace at the moment. That is Mufti Farooq Sahab. Mura, tell us more about him.
Yes, inshallah, we should speak a little bit about these things, because it is a contemporary matter. It's something that has just happened. Maybe, I don't know, I'm sure a lot of our honorable listeners have heard about the stampede, but Maulana, maybe just for the information of our listeners just to give a little background first, so that they know exactly what we, which what we're talking about. This year, in the Hajj, on I think it was on the 10th of Al-Hijjah, which is the day of Eid al-Adha, there was unfortunately a stampede that took place in Mina. And I think from what I recall, they say it took place around 10 past 8 in the morning. This happened at a junction of a few roads. I think it was road number 204 and road number 206 and 204, and I'm not sure which is the third road, but there's about two or three roads that join up at a particular point. And it is here that we found that two groups of Hujjaj going in opposite directions clashed in the narrow area, narrow space, and both sides were sort of into a gridlock, which then caused this whole stampede, in the sense that now when you are, you can't go front nor can you go back, you can't go to the side nor can you go to the right, because from all sides the road is closed off. And then people start pushing from the back and people from the front start pushing. Then what happens is that there's no way forward. And people then begin to get panicked, people get weak, people get start, you know, gasping for breath, and we find that those who are not very strong, they fall. And when one person falls, then it's like a domino effect, you know. The moment one person falls, another person falls, and a third person falls, and one after the other, they fall on each other. And the people at the bottom virtually get crushed under the weight of the people on the top. And they get suffocated as well. Now, you know, you can just imagine that you have a person weak and frail on the ground, and then there are two or three or four people on top of this person. And each person weighs on average even 75 kilos, for example. And if there's four people like that, then he has a weight of about 300 kilos on him. And he's pinned and trapped under that. So what happens, you know, a person can't last long. Eventually you're out of breath. And, you know, eventually you can't take it anymore, and that results actually in suffocation or asphyxiation, as they say, as they call it. And that results in death. And this is actually how the stampedes happen, that people get crushed, people get, you know, trapped under, and they basically go out of breath, they get the word I used earlier on, they get asphyxiation, or basically they run out of air, and simply you know, that results in their death. So this is actually the tragic event that happened this year in the Hajj. After a number of years where they had everything under control, alhamdulillah. But remember, this didn't happen at the Jamarat. A lot of people are under the misunderstanding that this happened at Jamarat. Normally, the stampede used to happen at Jamarat. Year after year, in the past, the stampedes happened at Jamarat because the roads to the Jamarat were narrow. And the whole area of the Jamarat itself was narrow, and there were a lot of people sitting all over the by the Jamarat, and people are trying to go past, and these people are sitting there, they're squatting there, they're sleeping there. And then we find that now people are walking over them, people have to jump over them. You know, it was really very difficult to actually do the Rami with all of these people sitting around and people with their luggages and bags and all kinds of things. But now, alhamdulillah, the authorities have become very strict. They don't allow you even with a little bag to go into the Jamarat.
Hmm.
Because this was a cause of problem in the past. So no bags are allowed. Nothing is allowed to go into the Jamarat. You go just with the pebbles in your hand and that's it. They don't allow not a single person to sit there even for half a minute. You've got to move. They don't allow any kind of squatting there. Nobody's allowed to sleep, sit, do anything. Inside of the Jamarat area, you have to move. Go do the Rami and immediately you've got to leave. So they've brought that very much under control, and that has actually, alhamdulillah, prevented any form of stampede and things that used to happen previously at the Jamarat. Plus they increased the size of it and they've increased the levels. But the problem was not this time at Jamarat, it was inside of Mina on the small, narrow streets of Mina, the side streets of Mina. This is where now it is very difficult to control, because first of all, it's not by the Jamarat, it's far away from the Jamarat, and this is where we have not very many people controlling. Unlike at the Jamarat, there's military and paramilitary and police force and all kinds of people are there at the Jamarat. But here in Mina itself now, in the other areas, there may be a limited number of people, so because of the very limited number of people controlling the situation, so it makes it quite difficult to control crowds immediately at these points. So this is the background to this particular unfortunate event that occurred. And now, Maulana, the important thing is, you know, it is water under the bridge now. It is something that we can't really do much about. It has come to pass. It's over. However, what we can do is we have to make a lot of dua for those people who passed away, that Allah Rabbul Izzat grant them the highest stages of Jannatul Firdaus. We have to make a lot of dua for those who are injured. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them speedy recovery.
Amen.
And we have to make a lot of dua for those who are lost, that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala return them safe and sound to their families, to their homes. And we have to make a lot of dua for the families of all of these people. That Allah Rabbul Izzat grant them a lot of sabr and patience and give them the strength and fortitude to deal with the losses that they have suffered, because obviously so many were looking forward to the members of the family returning home after completing this great ibadat of Hajj and coming back, and everybody, you know, happy, joyous about the return of their family after Hajj, when alas, it's not to be in the cases of all of those who passed away. So when the rest of the family or whoever is there will return, there'll be one person less going back, or maybe a few people less going back. So it will be a very sad experience for their families. We make dua, Allah Rabbul Izzat alone make it easy for them. This is a great test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's side. But as the people of Iman, it is our duty to surrender ourselves to Allah Rabbul Izzat's hukam and not to question his doings and not to be playing a blame game where this one is blaming that one and that one is blaming that one. It is the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We resign ourselves to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Yes, what needs to be done is obviously in situations like this is to take some, lessons out of it. The authorities should try to understand what was the cause of the problem, how it happened, why it happened, and try better in the future to prevent such a thing happening again to the best of one's ability. But end of the day, whatever we try to do, Allah Rabbul Izzat Taqdeer overwhelms everything, and nobody can bypass Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala's Taqdeer. So this is in essence this tragic event of the this stampede that took place this year in Mina. Very, very unfortunate and sad is that in the stampede event, a very senior and great alim, a great mufti, a great spiritual personality has been missing, and thus far, up to this point in time, we have not received any news of him, and he is still declared as a missing person. In fact, the government there have actually issued a notice with his name and his passport photograph, that if anybody has seen this personality who is missing, kindly, inform. They've given a few phone numbers and they said contact these people with the information about this person if he's found.
What do we know about Mufti Sahab Maulana?
Yes, now this personality we're talking about is none other than Hazrat Mufti Muhammad Farooq Sahab Mirati. We will say Damat Barakatuhum, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spare his life and keep his shadow over the Ummah.
Amen.
That is our wish, that is our dua, because we do need these great pious personalities, we need their presence, we need their duas, we need their services to the Ummah that they are rendering. So we make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala let him be found safe and sound, alive. Even if he's injured, for example, in hospital, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant him a speedy recovery. Whatever it is, we resign ourselves to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we should not stop making dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for him who is missing at the moment and whoever else is missing, that some closure can be made on their matter. Now, what is known about Mufti Sahab, first, before I explain, I just wanted to quickly fill in this information that one particular person was with Mufti Sahab at the time when the stampede took place, and he says that Mufti Sahab was in front of me and I fell on Mufti Sahab and I fell unconscious. The last thing I recall was that I fell on Mufti Sahab. After that, I don't know what happened. So this was some Maulana Muhiyuddin. I don't exactly know who is Maulana Muhiyuddin, but the message that came on WhatsApp from the ulama who were there in Mina, they had taken this statement from him. And this is what he had to say. And there were a number of other ulama who are also with Mufti Sahab there. They also say that, you know, they were caught up in the stampede when it happened. So it isn't that Mufti Sahab went missing somewhere else. He did go missing there at the point of the stampede. Nevertheless, a few words about Mufti Muhammad Farooq Sahab, Damat Barakatuhum. Mufti Sahab was born in 1950, so he would be approximately 65 years old at present. Mufti Sahab studied at the famous Madrasa Miftahul Ulum in Jalalabad. I studied under Hazrat Masihul Ummat Muhammad Sallallahu Rahmatullah Alayh, Allama Rafiq Saab Rahmatullah Alayh, and other great ulama. Mufti Saab studied under them at the Miftahul Ulum in Jalalabad. After completing his Alim course, and he was a very capable student, alhamdulillah, from his student days. After completing his Alim course, he then went to Darul Uloom Deoband, and there he studied Iftar, or he studied to become a Mufti, under the Grand Mufti of India at that time, Hazrat Faqihul Ummat, Mufti Mahmood Hassan Saab Gangohi, Rahmatullah Alayh. And he studied Iftar course under Mufti Gangohi, Rahmatullah Alayh, Mufti Mahmood Saab Rahmatullah Alayh, who is, as we know, passed away in South Africa, and is buried in Germiston at the Qabristan there. Mufti Farooq Saab took bayat to Mufti Mahmood Hassan Saab Rahmatullah Alayh, and then was blessed and conferred with the Khilafah from Mufti Mahmood Saab Rahmatullah Alayh, and is regarded amongst the senior most Khalifas of Mufti Mahmood Saab Rahmatullah Alayh. Mufti Saab thereafter established a madrasa in Meerut. Meerut is a big city in India, just north of Delhi, very big industrial city, Meerut. And you could say Meerut is halfway between Delhi and Deoband. So he established a madrasa called Jamia Mahmudiya. And this institution is not very old, it's about 25 years old, but alhamdulillah, in the 25 years of its establishment, you know, it is grown to be one of the bigger madrasas of India and a very well-respected institution. At present, there are approximately 700 students studying in Jamia Mahmudiya, Nogazapir, Hapur Road in Meerut. That is where it is situated. Alhamdulillah, by the fazl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I had the opportunity of visiting Mufti Saab's madrasa. I stayed a night at his madrasa. Mufti Saab, requested or instructed me to give some bayan and advices to the students in the madrasa. Alhamdulillah, he was an amazing personality. So this is the madrasa that he established, Jamia Mahmudiya in Meerut in India. And Mufti Saab, not only did he establish the Darul Uloom, but he is a person who wrote over 50 books, more than 50 books, and all wonderful, amazing books he has written. In fact, the most monumental of his works is he, alhamdulillah, compiled all the fatawa of Hazrat Mufti Mahmood Gangohi Rahmatullah Alayh, which is known as Fatawa Mahmudiya, and which is in 31 volumes. 31 thick volumes. This was the monumental work that Mufti Mahmood Farooq Saab, Dawud Barakatum, undertook. Besides that, he has written a commentary of Mishkat Sharif called Rafiq al-Fasih Shara Mishkat al-Masabi. He has written a tafsir of Surah Al-Fatiha. He has written on the life of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He has written on the life of Mujaddid al-Faisani rahmatullah alayh. He has written on the life of Shah Waliullah Dehlawi rahmatullah alayh. He has written on the akhlaq and character of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He has written many other little booklets on fiqh and taqleed and tasawwuf. Amazing, alhamdulillah, compilation of books that Mufti Saab has produced. He was really an institution in a single person. Waq Nizat Mek Anjuman Tha, if we may say it that way. And Mufti Saab traveled extensively for bayan lecture programs all over. Alhamdulillah, he's been to South Africa many, many times. Mufti Saab also gave dars in the various Darul Ulooms and Madaris of Hadith. Mufti Saab has been teaching Bukhari Sharif in two or three Darul Ulums in Meerut. He used to lecture in his own madrasa, and few other madaris used to call him also to give dars of Bukhari. So he was a mufti too, he was a sheikh al-hadith too, and he was a muhtamim too, and he was a sheikh at tariqat.
Allahu Akbar.
As if, you know, he had so many capabilities and abilities. He has so many capabilities that it is amazing that in one person so many. And he traveled extensively around India for bayans and lectures. In fact, this year in February, Maulana, when I went to India, I wished to visit the Mufti Sahib's madrasa, but when I called him, he was in South India. So he insisted very much that I should still go and visit the madrasa, and, you know, he would try to come quickly back, and I shouldn't leave till he doesn't return. But unfortunately, the flights were booked in such a way that I could not make it. And Hazrat Mufti Sahib's son met up in an accident just before Ramadan this year, a very serious accident. And Mufti Sahib was very, very concerned and trying to, you know, nurse him. And alhamdulillah, I think that he has made a very good recovery from that accident that he was involved in. And now Mufti Sahib had left for Hajj. And we have this very sad news that he is still missing. There hasn't been any trace of him. Nobody knows exactly, you know, where he is. So I take this opportunity to request all of the listeners of Radio Islam and those whom they can convey the message to as well, that please do remember Hazrat Mufti Sahib in your special du'as. Make du'a Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spare his life and return him home safe and sound. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must make that, allow for him to be found quickly. And all the other hujjat indeed who passed away, to make special du'a for them. Those who are lost, make a lot of du'a for them to be returned home safely. And those who are injured, whether it was the crane accident or whether it was this incident of the stampede, that Allah Rabbul Izzat give them a quick, speedy recovery and return them home safe and sound.
Ameen, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Indeed, Mufti Sahib, Jazakumullah for that update, Mufti Sahib. It brings us to the end of today's program. We hope that every person who is currently grieving, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for them, Mufti Sahib.
Ameen, summa ameen, Maulana.
We hope to speak to you next week, inshallah, Mufti Sahib.
Yes, inshallah, ta'ala, Maulana. We will soon, inshallah, we will we'll meet up again, inshallah.
Inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Yes, that was Mufti Zubair giving a brief update on the situation and some interesting points coming to the fore, that the stampede did not take place at the Jamarat, but it took place in the narrow streets of Mina, and you are speaking about that. Lastly, he spoke about Mufti Farooq Mirati Saab, who is also currently uncounted for, and the Saudi authorities have put up his picture and requesting people to contact them if they do spot Mufti Saab. And just a quick recap of Mufti Saab's life. He was born in 1950. He studied in Miftahul Ulum, Jalalabad, and he graduated from this institute. And he drank from the knowledge of Mullah Maslihul Ummah, rahimahullah ta'ala. Thereafter, he went on to study Iftah at Darul Ulum Dioban, and he became a Mufti under the auspices of Mufti Mahmud Saab. And in fact, he became the spiritually linked to Mufti Mahmud Saab, and he is now known as one of the senior khulafa of Mufti Mahmud Saab, rahmatullah alayh. And he currently runs a madrasa in Meerut, that is Jamia Mahmudiya, 25 years into existence, and 700 students are currently studying there. He has authored more than 50 books. The most famous one is his compilation on Mufti Mahmud Saab's work, which goes into 31 volumes altogether, a very voluminous work, and a lot of effort goes into that. His also famous book, The Commentary of Mishkatul Masabih, and Mufti Saab has traveled quite extensively in India. He is currently teaching Bukhari in his own madrasa and other madrasas as well. Mufti Sapa is well known. He has traveled to South Africa on several occasions, alhamdulillah. We make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for all the families involved. We make dua that those who are missing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala return them back safely. May the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for one and all. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.